Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Burns and Gambo talk Suns Timberwolves now.
Charles Barkley on the TNT postgame show last night. He still calls them my sons, so at least there's that.
He lies.
My sons are in trouble.
He lies. He says.
Yeah, my son's in trouble. You know, they never addressed the point guard situation, which they definitely needed as a point, and they needed another big body. That's one of the things we talked about at the trade deadline. They need to have those guys, those three guys finishing instead of initiating their offense, and they can play at a much faster pace. Because Minnesota's such a big team, it's tough to score on them in the half court. You got 2 7-foot guys out there, so it's really difficult. So the only way to do that is really speed the tempo up, and they then address the point guard situation. They didn't even need a great point guard. They just need a serviceable point guard. And I thought they needed a bigger body. They went out and got Royce O'Neal, who's more of a shooter. But when you're playing against some of the bigger teams in this league, you need more than one big guy, and that's all they got.
Was that the game above all others where the Suns' lack of a point guard was the most pronounced all season?
No, I don't think there's any question. I think that, you know, you can, a lot of people are going to blame the coach, but games like this, you blame the personnel. Like, I think it's more about the personnel than anything. I mean, they're not handling the pressure very well. Booker, Beal, Durant, they don't handle pressure well. They're turning the ball over. It's leading to second chance points. It's just, it's been a mess. They've got, you know, they have a running back playing quarterback on this team. They have a running back playing quarterback.
So they're like running the Wildcat out there is what
you're saying?
Yeah,
man, that's what it is. I mean, they don't have a quarterback playing quarterback. They have a running back playing quarterback. And it's led to a lot of problems for them. They don't have somebody that can direct the offense the way these other teams do. It's become very apparent in this series that this has come back to kind of bite them in the ass. Now, I've told you all the reasons why they didn't want to go get a traditional point guard. They didn't want to take the ball out of Booker and Beal and Durant's hands. They wanted their best players as playmakers to have the ball in their hands and to make all the decisions. Now, that's fine and dandy. And, you know, I'm not saying they didn't need a point guard. They would have loved to have gotten a guy like a TJ McConnell. Just wasn't available. They couldn't get him, but they would have loved to have had a guy like that. I fully expect that they will add a point guard next year, that there will be more of a true point guard on the roster next year, but you can't do anything about that right now.
No.
It is what it is. But has not having a point guard hurt them in this series? Absolutely, because of the pressure defense that Minnesota's throwing at them.
Yeah, it's obvious that I mean, I even Dan Bickley this morning in his column about the game called it the fatal flaw of the 2023-24 Suns team. And I think when this season wraps up, and it feels like it's going to wrap up here in fairly short order with the way the series is going, I think we will look back on it and say that was the fatal flaw. That was the thing that they didn't do, that they shouldn't have done, that they kept trying to, and honestly, not only did they try to convince us, I think we as fans or media try to convince ourselves to a certain extent. No, they don't need one. They don't need one. They're fine. Bradley Beal can do it. Devin Booker can do it. They've got lots of guys who can handle the ball, lots of guys who can initiate the offense. But to your point specifically about last night, once again, they were held under 20 assists. Okay, so not only is it, we were talking about this team being great when they're over 30. They can't even crack 20.
No.
They can't even crack 20 against Minnesota. That's number one. Yeah, number two, the singular number from last night's game was the 31-2 advantage
points
Minnesota
off
had in points off of turnovers.
Yeah.
It is a sloppy, sloppy mess, which is why I will continue, Gambo, to pound the table and tell you that if Chris Paul is indeed let go by the Golden State Warriors,
you want Chris Paul?
Bring him back. As long as A.
Minimum.
And B, he's willing to come back and come off the bench every day. Every day that ends in Y.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
They let Chris
Bring
go. They let Chris go because they weren't going to pay him $35 million, okay? And it wasn't like they could not it wasn't like you could let Chris Paul go and then you've got this blank canvas to go get anybody you want. That's just not the case. They would have had to pay him $15 million. They turned Chris Paul into the best option that was out there, and that was Bradley Beal.
Yes.
You may not like it. You know, you may not like it, but that was like the best they could have done in a bad situation because they had Chris under contract for half guaranteed, $35 million, half of it guaranteed, about half of it guaranteed. And they decided to use that. Now, would they have been better if they could have traded Chris Paul for three quality role players? You're damn right they would have been better.
And one of whom would have been a point guard?
Sure.
One of the three would have been.
And just three quality role players.
To Charles's point, All right, not even a star point guard, just a capable floor general to get you into your offense. Would it have been better that they trade? Yeah, I think it's as much as I enjoy what Bradley Beal has done at times for the season, I think in retrospect, if you could go back and do that trade all over again,
I could get Mike Conley, Alexander Walker, and Naz Reid.
You wouldn't shoot for the stars. You wouldn't aim high. Let's go get another big star, and let's go put these big...
I don't know that anybody's going to give you three quality role players for Chris Paul. Washington made a deal because they wanted off that contract.
Fair.
They wanted off the contract. But nobody was going to look at like, oh, I want Chris Paul, and I'm going to give you three of my valuable role guys.
And look, and I don't want to put thoughts in anybody's head. I have no idea what the likelihood of this happening is. I just think the circumstances around Chris have changed so much. I mean, number one, he knows that contract is up. He's not going to get paid like that. He's not going to make that kind of money. Two, I would assume he's going to want to stay close to home because family's a big deal for him. They're all based in LA. And three, Golden State has now broken Chris in when it comes to the idea of you're a bench player now. You're not a starter anymore. You're coming off the bench. You're playing a reserve role. They've done the heavy lifting for you. Golden State has already kind of convinced Chris Paul you're no longer a starting point guard in this league. You're a backup guy. If you can make all of these things work and he's available.
Does his ego allow him to play for the vet minimum?
Does he want to play? Does he want to win? Does he want to try to go for a championship?
Does he have hard feelings about the way it ended here?
He might. Now that he might. And I don't know. I don't know if he'd play for the vet minimum here. But again, if his goal is to stay on the West Coast, close to family, he's not going to have a ton of options. He's not going to have, unless he goes to LA, plays with LeBron. I suppose he has that as an option. He might take the minimum to go play there. I suppose that could happen. I don't know. And if not Chris, somebody like that. Somebody who, you know, now, okay, Chris Paul's a Hall of Famer. Maybe not somebody like that.
I'll bet you one of their first two or three signings they have in the offseason is going to be a point guard.
Of course. It's got to be.
It will be.
Yeah, it absolutely has to be. All right. Suns playoff games are coming up here at home.
Arizona Sports. All in for the Suns in the playoffs.
All right, so every single day in the 3 o'clock hour, we've been giving you a code word, and you text the code word in, and you could be headed to a...
What's the code word?
The code word, the password is...
Give me the code word.
Beal.
Beal.
B-E-A-L. The password is Beal.
What if you spelled it wrong? What if you spelled it like B-E-E-L? Do you still get in, or you get disqualified?
The secret word.
I would imagine. I don't know. I have no idea how the tech works on that. B-E-A-L. Text Beal to 620-620 right now. Enter your info and you could be headed to a Suns home playoff game. Tune in to Bickley and Murata tomorrow during the 8 a.m. hour for the next password. Again, our code word is Beal. B-E-A-L to 620-620.
For the record, you will need to spell it correctly because this is obviously a type in code word and not just like a call in code word.
Well, I know that sometimes, you know, we like cover variances of the spelling for no. Am I just talking out of my...
As far as I know, we are not covering just variants if you accidentally type Jessica Beal.
Making stuff up here. All right.
Allie Beal or something.
Spell it correctly. B-E-A-L if you want a chance to go to the game. If you want a chance to yell at us about what happened last night, well, by all means, 602-260-9870. The first of two caller segments in which we can all get together and gripe about what happened last night to the Phoenix Suns. We want to hear from you. Open phones at 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. You have the mic next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, open phones.
Hello. Show, let it all out. These are the things I can do.
Shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Yeah. It's kind of an anthem for what happened last night with the Suns game, right?
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely. Tears for Fears nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. 602-260-9870. One of two open phone segments that we're going to have today, which is just all going to collectively get together and gripe about a Phoenix Suns team that has really let us down so far two games in the series. Now, Gambo's not wrong. He's not wrong at all. Teams come back from down 2-0 all the time. All the time. It's happened to the Suns twice in the last few years, right?
Yes.
Even last year against Denver, when they were so overmatched against the Nuggets, they came back to tie that series two games apiece.
They did.
And they
down 2-0, came back to tie it 2-2.
Yeah, well, don't tell me. And forget your and then what happened, Mitch. We don't care about what happened next. I'm just trying to make a point here. It just doesn't feel like this team right now has the level of engagement or presence to be able to pull that off. But see what the callers think. You ready to do this? You ready
to go? Yes, let's do it.
Carter is in Gilbert. He is next up, first up here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Hello, Carter.
Hey, guys. Gambo, I love the forever optimism. That's how I try and be. It's not happening with this team.
It's unlikely they're going to win the series. I said that. It's unlikely they will win the series, but I'm not ready to count them out yet.
I wish I wasn't either, but I watch all these games, and I'm like, does anyone have a heart on this team? Anybody, please, someone step up and just get pissed. But it's just not going to happen. It just feels like this is just a microcosm of the whole season, and we're just watching it slip away.
So you think they lose tomorrow?
I would love to say at least, you know, make this interesting, but what have they shown us so far? Every time they get hit in the mouth, it's we're done. And so until I see something different, I can't see them winning.
I don't, Carter, thank you for the phone call. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I think the Suns are, you know, I don't think they're going to get swept. Am I worried the Suns are going to lose this thing in five? Yeah, I'm worried the Suns are going to lose this thing in
five. If they split in Minnesota, it's probably over in five, and it's a devastating first-round series loss, and everybody's going to take a blowtorch to them. I happen to think that they'll respond and they'll win tomorrow, and but it's hard. Like, to win 4 to 5 games against a good team, and you have to win on their court, I mean, this is not going to be an easy task. I can't rule them out yet. I can't rule them out.
David in Phoenix, next up here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Hello, David.
Hey, guys. Hey, Carter stole a little bit of my thunder, but do you remember the movie The Replacements with Keanu Reeves and
Gene Hackman?
Remember when Gene Hackman's coming off the field, and the reporters ask him, you know, what does your team need? And he takes his paper in his hand, he taps his chest, he goes, miles and miles of heart. And there's no heart on that team. I haven't watched a game in 6 weeks.
They went 7-3 down the stretch. You missed some good games. Like, they played some really good basketball down the stretch, and you missed some of that.
But they didn't. They did. They played good. They won, but they still lost in the fourth quarter. They still did the same thing that they keep doing. And Kevin Durant is not a leader, and Devin Booker has way too much respect for Kevin Durant. He needs to be yelling at everybody on that court. He needs to find his inner Kobe and inner Michael Jordan. Kobe asked him to be legendary, and he needs to be legendary.
Yeah, this team is somebody asked me last night, and I put this out on Twitter last night. Somebody asked me, is this team breaking your heart? And I responded to them. I said, this team never had my heart. This team never had my heart. This team
was, one original player from the team that went to the NBA Finals. It's when you put a mix mosh together
and
like that.
And I don't mean this organization. I just mean this year's team. They're really, 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 really hard to like. They're really hard to like, right? Because they're sloppy with the basketball, and they don't give full effort all the time. And they've had these awful fourth quarters, and sometimes they don't even give minimal effort in some of these games sometimes. This one's not breaking my heart because this team never really had it. They're really hard to like right now with how they've played almost this entire season. SWA, yes, in Chandler. SWA, are we going with initials here?
Southwest Airlines.
SWA? Okay, that's not my SWA. My apologies. Your name is SWA, and I should have said that. I'm so sorry. SWA, welcome to the show. They dropped. Never mind. He was offended, apparently, that I thought it was initials. William in Scottsdale, next up on Burns and Gambo. Hi, William.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I really think I'm going to be in the minority here, but I mean, I think we need a little optimism. This team won almost 50 games this year. Booker is not going to play any worse than he did in game 1 and 2. Durant can't really shoot the ball much worse. You know, we got torched by Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I mean, if those guys beat you over a 7-game series consistently, then that's a different problem you're going to have to talk about. But, you know, the series, the series doesn't start until the home team loses a game. This team's been pretty good at home. Let's see what they got. I mean, again, I know you talked about optimism. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to win the series, but we've had years and years and years of mediocre basketball. And, you know, obviously the expectations are way higher now, and that's what we're holding this team to. But this team is not just some pushover that's going to get swept, in my mind. And I think there is still fight left in this team, and they're going to show it in game 3, I hope.
If they had shown even a little bit of competitive spirit in the final 2 quarters of both of these games, I'd be inclined to agree. But because these games have turned out to be so uncompetitive, I'm having a hard time feeling that optimism. I'm not tapping into the optimism tree, Gambo.
They come out and they win tomorrow, get a little momentum going, feel good about themselves, figure it out, and win Sunday and make it 2-2. Now it's a best of three. I don't know. Like, it's hard. I think it's unlikely, but I can't rule out the fact that I think that they are still in this series. Plenty of teams have come back from down 2-0.
Bill, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Split in Phoenix, and it's over. Split in Phoenix in these two games, and it's done.
Bill is in Mesa. He's next up here on Burns and Gamble. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, for this, as far as this series go, I think it's pretty much over. I mean, what I would do is probably start a bigger power forward, start Eubanks, that power forward, just to try to match up with their size. I think going forward, they have to change the way they think about what wins in the playoffs. Size matters. As an organization, we've always been too small. We've always been the bullied, and we've always been bullied. We always complain, Johnson getting hit in the playoffs. Steve Nash getting hit in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now Booker. It's just been over and over and over and over again.
Bill, your phone's cutting out a little bit. You want to respond to that one?
I don't think he's wrong. The size factor for Minnesota is an advantage for them. The Suns are at their best when they play kind of small.
Yep.
And they're small. Look, the Suns don't have... they have a center. They really don't have a power forward. And they don't have a point guard. So they're missing a one. They're missing a four. It'd be nice to have some size at the four.
Yeah.
They don't have that guy.
You can't start Eubanks at the four because that means you're not starting Kevin Durant. You're not going to do that. Todd in Phoenix is next up here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Hi, Todd. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Yeah, Gambo hit it on the head when he said, you know, we're missing a one and a four for sure. But, you know, Kendrick Perkins said this. And, you know, I get it. The narrative goes back and forth from night to night. Don't blame Frank Vogel. But, okay, it's the playoffs. The playoffs, you know, it slows down the game. It's lower scores. Turns into a half-court game. Now you're seeing the Timberwolves pick up Devin Booker at half-court. Every series, every yep. time down the court, he's getting picked up at half-court. He's getting picked up at the logo. And he's getting bothered, and it's causing turnovers, it's causing bad passes. So who's watching this game? Frank Vogel's got a ringside seat on the sidelines. He's watching this game, and we got a whole row of assistant coaches behind him. Nobody can figure this out. This is called coaching adjustments. I mean, the reason why Minnesota is taking us so far in the series is because they've made adjustments. I mean, we swept them in the series, and I know it's the regular series. Season, it's a different regular season to playoffs, but we swept them. And the year before, I mean, we've won like 9 out of the last 10 games going to this series. Now they make the adjustments and we don't. And to me, I mean, it's I'm not taking it off the players. It's the players' responsibility as well. Absolutely, 100%.
There's some coaching in here too.
I mean, yeah,
there's some coaching in here too, Jim. Mm-hmm. And again, and we were talking about this in the last hour of the show. There's no question that the defensive pressure in the backfield is wreaking havoc on the Phoenix Suns. And Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, there's no doubt they're wreaking havoc on the Phoenix Suns. And it's clearly got inside Devin Booker's head. I mean, clearly. He has been completely, at times, not looking like himself at all in this series. Like, not even close to that version of himself in this series.
And he looks terrible defensively, too. So not only his offense is suffering, his defense doesn't look good. They've got to figure out a way to make some adjustments.
We've had great conversations with our next guest about the Suns in the NBA, and can't wait to hear what he has to say about this Suns team right now. Antonio Daniels with SiriusXM NBA Radio. He joins us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Burns and Gambo talk Suns Timberwolves now.
Fatima, many times in the past, it's always a very engaging, entertaining conversation with when we do. Antonio Daniels, NBA host of the Give and Go show on SiriusXM NBA Radio, joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show. Antonio, we got some real issues with our basketball team. You want to help us sort through them? You got a few minutes on your plate here. What do you think? You want to help us figure this out? What do you got?
Yeah, I got a few minutes. I'm going to head over to Game 2 and called the New Orleans Pelicans Oklahoma City game, but yeah. I definitely got a couple minutes because it's an 8:30 start. It's a late start.
All right, all right.
Definitely got some time. What's up, fellas?
Let's start with point guard. All year long, the Suns' philosophy was we want to keep the ball in our playmakers' hands. We want Booker and Beal and Durant to initiate the offense, to always have the ball in their hands. So they did not have a traditional point guard. The pressure defense Minnesota is throwing at these guys is killing the Suns. They can't handle the pressure defensively. How much is this team missing a point guard right now?
Well, I think the postseason, for me, it exposes a lot. Because you can get away with certain things in a regular season that you can't get away with in the postseason. You know, in a regular season, you may have a game like this against Minnesota, but then you may play Charlotte on Wednesday, and then play, you know, Portland on Friday. So then nobody's talking about it. But now things become exposed. I'm going to tell you what my issue has been with the Phoenix Suns all year long.
Okay,
please. Since they acquired Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker together. If you go back and you look throughout the course of history of big threes, I have said this on my SiriusXM show numerous times. There has to be a definition, a role definition. There has to be a Batman, there has to be a Robin, and there has to be an Alfred. There has to be. There's no way around it. So you look at the Miami Heat when they had LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. The first year they didn't win at all. They didn't win at all until Dwayne Wade said, you know what, LeBron James, you go ahead and be number one, I'll be number two, Chris Bosh, you be number three. So the question I would ask you guys is, who is the definite number one for the Phoenix Suns? Not who you think it is, but who they think it is in the way that they play.
Durant.
I think it flip-flops between Devin Booker and Kevin Durant.
There you go. And that's my problem.
I think it flip-flops.
That's my problem. There can be no flip-flop. You have to know that this is the guy we are going with. This is our number one option. This is our number two option. This is our number three option. As far as the point guard goes, I understand the thought process behind it. I do. Because you look at today's NBA, how many traditional point guards are there? Traditional point guards in today's NBA are like traditional big men.
10?
You probably got maybe, say how many?
I would think 10. Well, they're playing against one right now in Mike Conley.
Agreed. That's one. Chris Paul's one. Tyus Jones is one. You can count. I think you have less than 10. And by point guard, I mean not by skill set, but by mindset. Because point guard to me is not a skill set. It's a mindset. It's the way you think the game. A guy that's going in and knows how to put the pieces of the puzzle where they need to be for this team to be successful.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry still plays a good point guard. I mean, Drew Holiday, like they're out there.
Not a traditional point, though. Drew Holiday's not a traditional point guard.
But he thinks the game well, but his basketball IQ is very, very high.
For sure, but there's a difference between having a high basketball IQ and thinking like a traditional point guard. Because today's NBA is full of lead guards. It's full of lead guards. And the difference with lead guards and point guards is lead guards think score. Point guards think time, score, situation, what's needed, and when it's needed.
Yeah.
And that's what the Phoenix Suns do not have. Because Devin Booker's a scorer by nature. Kevin Durant's a scorer by nature. Bradley Beal's a scorer by nature. Eric Gordon is a shooter and scorer by nature.
Okay, but you were a point guard. You were a point guard.
Correct.
You knew how to handle pressure defense a lot better than a two guard does. And that's my point in this is Minnesota's got they're not just Rudy Gobert. Their perimeter defenders with Ant, correct, with Conley, with McDaniels, with Walker, mm-hmm, with Naz when he governed. Their pressure is killing Booker and Beal. You were a point guard. You would know how to handle that pressure. I'm not seeing Booker and Beal adapting to that pressure in this series.
Because you know what? They've never had to handle that pressure. Think Bradley Beal's always played alongside John Wall and Devin Booker for the past couple of years. When they ran to the finals, you had Chris Paul. So you had someone that was accustomed to handling that pressure that wasn't named Devin Booker or Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. And I feel like in the playoffs, what happens is the physicality increases, right? The physicality is a lot more physical in the postseason. That's why you see a lot of teams not even coming close to 100, where in the beginning of the season, teams are scoring 200 points in a game. That's a completely different conversation. But I feel like sometimes you have to simplify the offense in the postseason. Because if you have Devin Booker and you have Bradley Beal and you have Kevin Durant out there fighting pressure, you are in Jaden McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and Ant Manzarina. How do you put those guys, the good point of attack defenders that you just referenced for the Minnesota Timberwolves, in Devin Booker's arena? How do you put them in Kevin Durant's arena? How do you put them in Bradley Beal's arena? I feel like sometimes in the postseason, you have to simplify your offense. And I know what it said. Sometimes you got to cut your playbook down. Let me cut my playbook down a little bit. Let me put – we used to have plays, drop two, drop three. Where you come down, you drop the ball to Kevin Durant 10 feet from the rim. Now, Jaden McDaniels is in his arena. Drop the ball to Bradley Beal 10 feet from the arena. I mean, from the rim. Right. Now they're in Bradley Beal's arena. But if you've got guys out there fighting pressure, that goes against what those guys have always had to do. You're asking guys to be and do something that they're not.
Antonio, before you leave us, Antonio Daniels from SiriusXM NBA Radio, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. Leave us with this because we're down to about a minute left here, and then you've obviously got a game to call for the Pelicans. Is there a path for the Suns to get back in this series?
Yes.
Okay, where? What is it? Show it to me.
Yes. See, here's the thing about the playoffs for me. There's always an overreaction to one or two games. So think about the conversation we're having now. If Minnesota goes to Phoenix and gets blown out two games, now we're having a different conversation for game five that we're not having after game two. You're going home. Minnesota did what they were supposed to do. So the challenge this time of the year is to not overreact. Because I can tell you this, Phoenix Suns all year on certain nights have looked like they can win NBA championships. And on other nights, look like they couldn't beat the Charlotte Hornets. If that NBA championship Phoenix Suns team comes out for the next two games, we're having a different conversation after game four, and that puts a different set of pressure on the Minnesota Timberwolves for game five.
Antonio,
that's what we're hoping for.
That is what we are hoping for. We might not, some of us might not believe in it more than others around here, but that is what we are hoping for. Antonio, we appreciate the time and the candid conversation as always. Thanks for coming on for a few, okay?
For sure. I appreciate it, fellas.
Thanks, Antonio.
Antonio Daniels, SiriusXM NBA radio host.
Longtime NBA point guard.
The Give and Go Show. Yeah, that was a good conversation. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
He's not counting him out.
No, he's not. He's not. Maybe I need to soften up a little bit. Maybe
it's hard. It's hard.
It is hard.
You've been kicked. You're down. You can't see the forest for the trees.
I haven't seen the level of competitiveness out of this team in this series so far to make me think they're capable of it. They've had to empty their bench in back-to-back games because they're getting blown out so badly. You made the argument they should have emptied their bench sooner.
4:36
in the game yesterday because they were getting blown out so bad. It's hard to believe in a team that has been so inconsistent all year to think they're suddenly going to flip the switch right here down 0-2. Join Arizona Sports 98.7 tomorrow. Round one of the NFL draft. We're all going to be there. Flanker's Kitchen inside BetMGM Sportsbook. Come witness Cardinals history with us. And get a chance to win autographed Cardinals merchandise as well. Visit the contest page at arizonasports.com for full details on our draft coverage. I promise you it is going to be great. It's one of our favorite days of the year. When we come back, we've got a baseball team has one of the best run differentials in the league, and yet they've got a losing record. What is going on? It's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Hey, it's Vince Murata. Do they stay or do they go? Talking about the Cardinals at number four, and we'll get you ready for what they do and the rest of the NFL draft Thursday at 6 on Arizona Sports.
I am looking forward to tomorrow. If for no other reason, we can finally put an end to the speculation of what the Cardinals are going to do in the draft because we've been speculating on it for 2 months. Number two, it's a little pause in the Suns, down 0-2. It hasn't gone real well so far, but mostly, Gambo, I hope I convey this when I read the buzzes for it and everything. It is my favorite day of the year on the air here at the station. I think
really?
Oh my, I think our draft coverage is so good. Whether it's the draft profiles that everybody behind the scenes have been working
draft
on.
Draft profiles are great.
The round tables that we have with you and me and Wolf and Bick, right? Just getting the three of you on the air together. No disrespect against the others, but then we'll have Vince come in and Luke come in. All the different voices all sharing their opinions. And it's great. I love our draft coverage. I love it. And I'm just looking forward to like being the point guard and just kind of saying, you talk and you talk and you talk.
And Bernsie, you've got to be excited because I'm running the board for it, so I'm going to be the voice in your ear while you're down
and
there.
Not, and it's not like I'm we have a, about it's that, not yes. like we have a two guard running the point either on these shows. It's not like we have a real traditional point guard.
Are you saying that Arizona sports doesn't need a point guard the way the Suns do?
We've got a good point guard. We've got a backup point guard. Like, you know, our depth at the point guard spot is pretty good. We're not rolling out a draft show tomorrow for the Cardinals, and we've got a two guard running the point.
We build our roster traditionally.
We absolutely do. We start with point guards.
Bravo, Gambo. That was really, really good.
That was good. I enjoyed that. Diamondbacks baseball today dropped the series to the St. Louis Cardinals. Here's what it sounded like.
Here's the 0-1, and Cattell swinging a ground ball right side. McCarthy hesitated. He'll be thrown out at second, throw to first in time, and that'll end the ball game. Diamondbacks want to hold to see if they want a challenge. They're going to call both out. Let's just pack it up and go home. Cardinals win it. Final score 5-1. Incredible.
Chris was ready to leave, apparently.
He wanted out. He wanted out of there.
The Diamondbacks went 0-15 with runners on base after the first inning. Jordan Montgomery was so good. 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs. Struck out 4, walked only 1. He's 1-1 with a 2.08 ERA so far this season. But Gambo, the story, and it ain't a good one, and that is Merrill Kelly on the injured list again. And listen to the quote from Torrey Lovello yesterday. Quote, "We're not looking in terms of weeks as what we had hoped for. I think the next step up is a month, maybe more than that." When asked whether Kelly will be back by the All-Star break in mid-July, Lovello responded, quote, "I don't know, hard to say," close quote.
Just punch me in the face now.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to.
No, you could. I'll give you a free shot right now.
I'm not going to.
Free shot.
Nope.
I got a pretty good chin.
A good point guard. No. No, I wouldn't do that.
Like it. The news just like every week. It's like, what's next week? What's next week's bad news going to be? Have we gone?
Oh, don't tempt the baseball gods like that.
Have
please.
We gone? I'm telling you, we got to make a sacrifice. We have to sacrifice like Gabriel Moreno bobblehead, or a Gold Glove bobblehead, or the Corbin Carroll Rookie of the Year bobblehead. You got it? There, smash it.
Oh, hold on.
Like, we have to sacrifice
not the
something.
Nice stuff. What the heck?
I got an ear.
Like, you don't make a sacrifice of something garbage. You have to sacrifice something good.
What's
the option?
Here are the Diamondback bobbleheads we have available. We got an Ian Kennedy Arizona Sports bobblehead.
That's not going to cut it.
We got a Zach Gallen bobblehead.
That could work.
I have my pick because it's already missing his arm. The Josh Colemanser.
That's not going to cut it.
But he's missing his arm
but
already.
It's not going to cut it.
There's a Corbin Carroll on the desk.
That will
out
cut
there.
It. You got to sacrifice the Corbin Carroll bobblehead or the...
Poor Josh Colemanser. I'm holding this up for the cameras right now. His arm is broken. He didn't...
There is no tomahawk in that bobblehead, unfortunately.
Did he throw hard enough to break his arm?
What do you think, he's Brandon Webb?
I got a Bob Melvin bobblehead and Hill bobblehead.
No, listen, every week there's been bad. We haven't had one week where there's not a bit of bad news for the Arizona Diamondbacks every week. This is a loss. Listen, all of the losses up till now, and I'm going to be completely honest here, okay, because I love this baseball team. I do. I love this baseball team. All of the losses have been ones where I've said, just keep your head above water, play 500. This is devastating. This is their best money pitcher. Merrill, you know how big of a fan I am. Merrill Kelly's a guy you give the ball to and you expect you're going to win every single game because it doesn't matter who you're playing. The guy's a bulldog. He's going to be out until after the All-Star break, possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
That is brutal. That's a brutal loss. You don't overcome that loss. You don't overcome that type of loss for that length of time. There's nobody that could replace what Merrill Kelly brings to this baseball team.
Here's the quote again. Quote, "We were hoping it might be weeks, but it doesn't look like that. It might be longer. When is his return? We're not sure." Close quote. So, to your point, and I agree with everything you're saying, by the way. Merrill Kelly's in his own stratosphere on this one.
Yep.
Here's the full list of Diamondback injuries so far. Okay, this is the 40-man roster in totality. So some of these guys weren't with the big league team. Merrill Kelly, Ryan Nelson, Eduardo Rodriguez, Paul Sewald, Miguel Castro, who got added yesterday, Luis Frias, Dre Jameson, Alec Thomas, Geraldo Perdomo, Jordan Lawler, Jorge Barroza. add Kyle Nelson to that list, too. He also got put on the injured list right before yesterday's game. And Gambo, you're getting to the point where your 40-man roster is like littered with guys who are unavailable. Yeah. So, I mean, they're just not.
And Eduardo Rodriguez, he's on the 60-day?
Yes, he's on the 60-day.
He's on the 60-day.
He won't be back until at least Memorial Day, if not after. Right.
I mean, and listen, we haven't seen him pitch, so we don't know. And getting Jordan, thank God they got Jordan Montgomery, but Merrill Kelly, to me, is just one of those devastating, devastating losses.
So that becomes the question. Can they survive this?
I don't know.
They're 12-14 right now on the season. I haven't really been paying that much attention to the standings. I can't imagine.
The Dodgers have not played great.
Yeah, I can't imagine at 12-14 that they're out of anything.
The Dodgers have not played great baseball. They haven't. Go look at the Dodgers' record. They have not been a dominant team this year. But the problem is, by the time you get everybody back, now those wild cards are going to be, there's going to be 10 teams battling for the wild card, and it depends on where you are. Are you going to be second place, fifth place, seventh place, eighth place in the wild card by the time you get these guys back? But let's go Memorial Day. By the time Memorial Day comes around, you know, where are you going to be? This is the one that gets me. Alec Thomas for a little while, okay. Perdomo at shortstop, don't like it, but okay. Merrill Kelly?
Yeah. We're expecting Alec Thomas back. I was listening to Mike Fitzgerald yesterday on the Wolf and Luke show, and I think he said that Alec Thomas close, Paul Sewald close. Look, I'll say this. I don't know when he's going to come back. Play 500 ball until he does. If you play 500 ball until he does, can you? That's the question mark. You still have Gallen. You still have Jordan Montgomery. You're going to get your closer back eventually at some point. If you can play 500 ball until you get Merrill Kelly back, I think you'll be in a position
to
still do what you wanted to do.
With it might not be 10 teams.
You have to play 500 ball.
But
right?
You know that they'll be June 15th. There'll be 7 or 8 teams out of battling for the wild card spot. Where are you in that pecking order? Where are you?
Yeah, right.
Where are you?
And as long as you're in that pecking order.
You don't want to be 7th or 8th.
As long as you're in that conversation, I think you can survive this because it's such a long season, as long as that's all we're talking about. But it's obvious. Last year's good luck that the Diamondbacks had with injuries, man, they are paying for that bill right now, aren't they?
Smash the Gallen. Do it. Smash it. Okay, you know what? You're not willing to make the sacrifice to the baseball gods.
Why don't you do it?
Because I'm asking you to. I'm not, you know.
You do it. If you believe in the sacrifice so much, you do it.
Okay. I might just do
it. You do it.
I might just do it.
I'm not going to try it. You try it. I'm not going to try it. When we come back, let's get you caught up on what's going on in sports. The 4 o'clock reset. It's coming up next in the Burns and Gambo Show.